Good morning, everybody. How are we? Who's had a good week? Anyone? No one's had a good week? Anyone had a good week this week? A few? It's been an awesome week. I had a client who texted me very excited yesterday to say that she had a job, which is pretty exciting. First job she's ever had. Very, very excited. Indeed, she said, my life has changed forever. It's great to know that Christ lives within us. And he lives with us through his Spirit. Now, the Spirit, of course, is God. His Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it got me thinking about a guy in the Old Testament who very much had to get that realization every day when he was in exile in Babylon. And this is what Daniel prayed in Daniel 2. Blessed be the name of God from age to age, for wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons, disposes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells within him. To you, O God of my ancestors, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and power, and have now revealed to me what we asked of you, for you have revealed to us what the king ordered. Of course, he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which is pretty amazing. So the invitation this morning is to come. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are always present, always with us, alive through your Spirit, guiding every word, every action, and everything that we do. So please come in power and in glory, in peace this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. He trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. How great, how great, how great is our God. Age to age,
Those of you online, good to see you. Glad you could get up, or whenever you're doing your online watching, please grab a seat. I haven't got many notices for you today, so again, you can just have a look at your grapevine or whatever. But family, Friday friends, Marge, how'd that go? So, yeah, Friday friends online, end of the month, coffee from 11:30-ish. And it's always great to be able to get out of the place, isn't it, and try and do something different. So, that's good. Now, kids, I've got some conversations I want to have with you today. And hasn't it been so cold? It's just been insane how cold it is. It's a miracle of any of us getting out of bed at any time, really, isn't it? Now, hello, Wonder Chums, how are you? Are you good? Where are those handsome fellas? Where's my main man, Sam? I need my main man, Sam. I think he's coming. Now, while Sam is getting himself organized, what is this? I'm going to draw something we haven't really seen much of. You ready? Hey, bud. Good to see you, Alex. I'm going to draw something we haven't seen much of. For the sun, thank you very much. What is that stuff? Okay, so today, like when the sun shines, normally what happens is, so this is someone standing here like this, they're standing here, the sun shines, and they have something like this that happens, isn't it? What is this? Or what else could it be? Sunbaking? Not quite. No, not sunbathing. So when the sun shines, what happens? It's your shadow. You know, have you ever seen, you know, like when the sun used to be out, remember? Oh, I have here's my shadow. That's right, look. You know, maybe we should draw it on the carpet. No, I better not. No, all right. Okay, so this is what happened. So today, yeah, I'll be in big trouble. Now imagine if something really strange happened. So imagine, what's this? Okay. Now imagine the shadow. What do you think? What about this one? Imagine if you had a tree, and I'm going to give you a bit of... Okay, imagine, right? So what's happening? Do you think this is... Is this normally what happens? When was the last time you saw a house with a car shadow? Put your hands up if you've seen a house with a car shadow. What about a tree with a bike shadow? I've lost you, haven't I? So what happens? So normally, a shadow is a reflection of what's supposed to happen. So like a house has a house shadow, doesn't it? That's correct. And normally a tree has a tree shadow. So what happens, what sort of shadows do Christians have? Yeah, what about this? What about this? What am I doing? What does that mean? Heather? People, thank you. Yes. Okay, so how is it that Christians can have a Jesus shadow? How is that possible? They can't, you don't think? Jesus is above them, but what happens if Jesus is in them? So in their heart. So what happens if Jesus is in their heart? Doesn't that mean a Jesus shadow? What would that look like? A Jesus shadow. What would that look like? What sort of things would Jesus shadow through us?
Love.
Love, okay. I'll do a heart for that. What else?
Kindness.
I like this. Your brains are thinking. Sam, are you with me? Sammy, what other things? What sort of things does Jesus shine through? What?
Happiness.
Happiness? Yes.
Patience.
You guys, look. Do you think these guys have got it? Put your hands up if they've got it. Yes.
Friendliness.
Well, we can do a big list. I'm thinking, where's that voice coming from? Yes, Lord. It's Adrian on the drums. Okay. I'm really excited. And I need to just get Adrian to be quiet for a minute. You guys have got some Sunday school, and it's happening very shortly after the Bible reading. So we're going to listen to the reading, and I want you to see if you can hear something about Jesus being within us from the reading, all right? Thank you. All right.
Our reading today is from Galatians chapter 2, verse 15 to 20. The Jews and Gentiles are saved by faith. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through the faith of Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if, in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, Sunday school kids, goo-hoo!
Our faith to the screen.
Have you seen my holy Savior? Have you seen his works of power? Has his mercy touched your spirit? Has his words cut to your heart?
Have you heard my holy Savior, the very voice of God the Son? Hear him cry, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done.
He is Jesus, prophet, priest, and king. He is maker and sustainer of everything. He is servant, he is master, he's God's perfect sacrifice. Won't you cast your precious emptiness on him? He will give you life.
Won't you cry out to my Savior in your comfort or distress? For your time is running short, he will gladly give you rest.
For you will see the Holy Savior when this age comes to an end, and you will face him as your judge, he'll embrace you as his friend.
He is Jesus, prophet.
sacrifice. Won't you cast your precious emptiness on him, and he will give you life from death and peace from anger, joy from sorrow, health from hunger, praise from hatred, hope from failure. He is Jesus, Holy Savior.
He is Jesus, prophet, priest, and king. He is maker and sustainer of everything. He is servant, he is master, he's God's perfect sacrifice. Won't you cast your precious emptiness on him? Won't you cast your precious emptiness on him? Won't you cast your precious emptiness on him?
Have you seen my Holy Savior? Have you seen my Holy Savior? Have you seen my Holy Savior? Have you seen my
Holy Savior? The offering, I suppose. Bring the offering down after this song. Stand when you feel you're ready.
Was lost, but now
Remain standing as we bless this offering. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of life. We're really grateful for all that we have. And in our gratitude, we want to respond to you and give what we can. Can financially, can emotionally, can physically, can through our prayers. Most of all, Lord, we want to give again our lives to you, to be used by you in whatever way it might be. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the people said,
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, all. This morning, as we bring our prayers for others, let us just think of some of the things that we can do, especially during our prayer. If there is a pause, pray for those who are on your heart or for things that need praying for. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for just living and being. Being here today in safety. Not so with those in Ukraine. We pray for an end to this war and peace. Not only in the Ukraine, but in many other countries in this world where there is instability. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are sick with COVID, for those who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. We also pray for those who are unemployed, who are seeking a situation to make them useful. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are travelling or will be travelling, especially for Colleen and a safe return. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our school chaplains and all the things that they do to support the pupils and the teachers and the families of those pupils. We also pray for our minister, David Pryor, and the leaders of this church, the Vines. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the leadership of this state, South Australia, and also the Prime Minister of this country, Australia. Give them wisdom to govern this state and country in peace. Lord, we've been given the gift of sport. We thank you for our athletes as they perform in Birmingham. Keep them safe. We pray for the leaders of the Uniting Church and the Synod of this church. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray that your healing hand will be on all those who are sick and troubled. We also thank you for all the blessings, and we ask for all these things in your blessed name, in the loving name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.
Let's pray. As we continue our service together and our time together, we pause to do some time of reflection. Lord, I pray that these words that I'll share might stir some different thoughts and actions in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have to confess that I have attention span of a gnat. You know, I'm looking at the order of service and 3 seconds later, completely forget it. So I was going to show you the kids' talk front page I was going to do. So this is some stuff the girls did the other day. Got all the different names of the kids. And probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a Sunday school gathering afterwards where we had a shared lunch. And it's always a good opportunity to gather around. And as you can see, patiently waiting to get into the food. But like those times where you can gather and do stuff together collectively around food is so important, isn't it? And that's why the Friday Friends is really important. That's why the sausage sizzle we have every second Sunday of the month is, again, really an opportunity to hang around, eat some food, connect, tell some stories. So part of, I wanted to show that earlier in the service, but like I said, I've got attention span of a gnat, so gone like a... So today, as we continue our service series on the Holy Spirit and the impact it makes on our lives, we've looked at some things so far like salvation, reconciliation, justification and law, so some big terms, redemption. We even looked at the tyranny of the should, forgiveness, adoption, freedom, new creation. And next week will be our last one, which looks at in Christ, all are one. So these are recurring themes. Like if you picked up the New Testament and flicked through the pages, you come across these terms all the time. So the question is why? Why have they got these terms in there? Well, often the New Testament writers are basically trying to say, well, answer the question, what difference does believing in Jesus make to our lives as individuals and a community? What's the difference? So what? And it's really one of those recurring themes. And it's how do we understand the change that comes about through faith? The Holy Spirit's in our life, changes us, but what does that look like? What does that mean? How do we experience it? So today, one of the things we're picking up is looking at Paul's, again, about Christ living within us. The next slide picks up part of this key reading. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, yeah, it's a big concept to get our brains around, isn't it? What does that feel like? I mean, the shadow of, as Christians, you know, the shadow we cast in the Jesus that lives within us, reflected through our actions and behavior. What does it mean? And I think one of the challenges we have as Christians for the last 2,000 years, even Jesus encountered it, when we talk about faith and relationship, there's always those laws. It always gets caught up in the shoulds. And guilt is not far away. Like in Jesus' times, there was lots of shame about tithing, about prayer, about cleanliness rituals, about what sort of food you ate, how you ate it, who you even mixed with, who you shared a table with, really had a big impact on whether you were seen as clean or not. And then Paul, when he became a Christian in the early church, there was lots of shame about, you know, whether you were following the laws of Moses, whether you were circumcised, not circumcised, who you ate with, whether you were unclean, what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. And in our time, I mean your time, what were some of the shoulds that you had to do on a Sunday to be a Christian? What were some of the... How many times did you go to church? Put your hand up if you went 3 times a day on a Sunday. 2 times, 3... Look, and that was the expectation, wasn't it? You would go to church the whole day. And that was an expectation. If you didn't, there was something wrong with you. What were some of the other things you could or couldn't do on a Sunday? Couldn't play sport? Couldn't play football? Couldn't write a check? Because that was work?
Well, it's just, yeah. Don't write a check on Sunday.
Couldn't go shopping? Work? Yep, look, there was a whole pile of stuff, wasn't it? It was just amazing how many things you could not do.
You couldn't catch a bus on Sunday morning.
Couldn't catch a bus?
Couldn't go to the shop.
Yeah, like, it's just so many limitations, wasn't there? And the tyranny of the should. I remember when I was about 20 and faith was becoming an alive option, experience for me. And I was a cabinet maker, and you know, as a cabinet maker, I was responsible for installing cupboards. And so we'd go out on these building sites, and I'd be installing wardrobes, kitchens. And on site, there'd be tilers, and there'd be plumbers, and there'd be carpenters. And I had this conversation with the carpenter, and he seemed really friendly. So I got the courage up to say, well, actually, you know, I went to church. I'm going to church. I'm a Christian. And the guy just looked at me and nodded at me and said, hmm. And he said, well, do you speak in tongues? Do you, you know, believe in the full baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you, you know, he just listed about five or six things. And he said, I wasn't a Christian because I didn't, you know, because if I didn't tick all these things, I wasn't a Christian and I was going to hell. And I can remember sitting down inside a cupboard in a wardrobe, just sitting there thinking, wow. I was so excited about this thing, and this guy had just gone, crushed it. And, you know, I'm not sure he ever realized the shadow he cast over me that day. But whenever I saw him, all I saw was judgment, the shoulds, the things I couldn't do, I wouldn't do, whatever. Didn't matter, I ticked all of them. In his view, was a fail. And I think, well, what a wasted opportunity. Here was this chance, this guy, an experienced Christian, had the chance to mentor me, take me under his wing, share about some of the challenges of being on a building site, what it means to be a Christian when you smash your thumb with a hammer. What do you say? What do you do? How do you react? Come now, Jesus, come. I don't know. What do you do? And it was a wasted opportunity. So for me, it was like, I had to go home and do some unpacking, and you know, I had a chat to Dad, and I picked up the Bible, and I came across these two readings. Romans 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, I ticked that box. The second one I came across was, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Holy Spirit. Tick. So for me, those couple of verses just gave me a grounding to offset some of the judgment from others. He was caught in the law and he missed. And this next slide, I think, picks up some of that sense of what it feels like to be judged. I don't know about you, but being judged and criticized, and it just does not make me feel warm inside. Being judged is just such a terrible thing. And, you know, I guess at times as Christians and the church, we've been guilty of that. And even in Jesus' day, one of the greatest criticisms he had of organized religion is that they sometimes missed the point and just got into the shoulds and the law. And we forget that Jesus came to live within us. And what my experience of that guy was picked up in this next one. It was just, this guy cast a negative shadow over me. And it really made me start, I really like that idea of shadow. And we were playing around a little bit with the kids, trying to figure out what shadow might look like. And what was really sad, this guy had no idea that's the sort of shadow he cast over me. And I could never have told him. He would have denied it. Because some people just are not open. So for me, it's a really challenging time. I spent some time with a couple who are not Christian, who are getting married. They're friends of the family. And I said, you know, one of the wonderful things about gathering on a Sunday morning is the people who rock up online here are really opening their lives to reflection. Now, most of the stuff I might say could be utter rubbish, but there might be something that you reflect with or upon through the words or the songs that actually might change your life up this week. But what about other people who don't have faith? I mean, what do they do to reflect? What is the inspiration for their reflection? I mean, when do they stop? Why do they stop to reflect? Because without awareness, we cannot change. And one of the wonderful things about the Holy Spirit is it stirs us. One of the wonderful things about what you're doing here today is you're opening your life to be changed. You're thinking about, is what David's saying relevant to anything in the world? What do I connect with? What is my life? What does it make? And so that's just a wonderful thing you're doing. I'm not sure if you appreciate that, but that's a significant thing you are doing. And I guess one of the challenges we have in faith is that we know it's not easy. We know that everybody's got a view on something. And I think the thing we tend to forget is that Christ came into the world to set us free, to free us to have abundant life, not to be persecuted, not to feel guilty and shamed or make others feel the same way, but to just open up our lives to be all we can be as individuals and a community. And our faith is hard fought. And Paul talked about, you know, he had that great comment where, actually, this next slide picks it up nicely. Thank you, Maestro. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. So we know it's not hard. Paul is saying, man, he had this great experience of Jesus, resurrected on the road, transformed his life, but he still struggled. So none of us should be in the idea that somehow we're going to be perfect, that we're never going to make a mistake. Key question is, when we make mistakes, what do we do about it? How do we make up for those mistakes? How do we take responsibility and accountability for the things we do wrong? And that's part of that integrity as a Christian. It's not integrity until it costs us something. And sometimes we just have to say sorry. Sorry. Paul was really trying to help the Christians in Galatians understand that there's something bigger happening. Jesus is living in you, changing you. You're not going to be perfect, but you can have an impact as you open your life to it. Next slide picks up this whole, we have been crucified with Christ. And I think the thing that really strikes me about that, it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. That affirmation that we are loved, that regardless what other people think, God is within us. God loves us. And I really like that idea of the shadow. In fact, I hadn't realized that there's actually quite a bit of material about shadows and shadow work. And when we think about a shadow, you know, a shadow actually reflects and shines down on the nature of something. So a house has a shadow of a house. And as Christians, you know, what is the shadow that we cast? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? What is, how would you understand your shadow through your faith that's cast amongst others? What shadow do I cast? It's a term that's really an interesting one. And when I was looking through the internet just to sort of kick around some different ideas, this Go Within Spiritual Coaching explained how he understood shadow work. And this is what he wrote. Working with your shadow, your inner hurt, selfishness, unknown aspects of yourself, allows you to slowly deepen many interior aspects of yourself and become loving and kind to that which you previously rejected, eventually allowing yourself to become more compassionate to both yourself and others. What I particularly like is the next few lines. When you work with the shadow, you begin to reclaim the projections you put onto others. You turn inward and begin to gently listen and heal those aspects within yourself instead. Now, I like that. And I think all of us are doing inner work. Now, I'm not sure what the premise of this person was. I'm not sure what their motivation is. But as Christians, we are opening our lives to the Spirit to continue to transform us. We are opening our lives to be changed. And that is that inner work that all of us do at any age. And really, you would have some great stories to tell. because we're growing all the time. All the time we're growing, because that's just what happens in our faith. So, you know, the last 3 years, you have grown. You have had to put up with the frustration and the anger and the illness associated with COVID, with at times stupid, meaningless rules that had so many exceptions to the rule. About masks, not masks, when you wear them, when you don't, who, you know, what actually, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? The COVID experience we've had the last two or three. Now, there is no one here or online that can say they are no different than they were 3 years ago. It is physically, emotionally impossible. You are different. We are all different because of these experiences. Now, the interesting part is, to what degree has you been able to connect your faith in with these experiences? Do you have a different understanding about how God is present with you now than you did 3 years ago? Are there things that have been confirmed, affirmed, reaffirmed? Has your shadow changed? Have you more empathy and compassion for those who are shut in, those you meet? I don't know. Interesting, isn't it? Because all this stuff we do when we gather is to reflect, to become aware, to be conscious of the God's work in our lives. It's no longer I that live. And one of the key part of that experience that Paul talked about is this. It's no longer I live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's motivation comes back to God's love of him. That's why a couple of times I've mentioned the word gratitude today. Gratitude. There's a wheel up here which I'm sure you can't see very clearly, but it's a gratitude wheel. And let me read some of the things that people are grateful for. Adventure, travel, well, maybe there's still a little. Travel, friends, heat, yes, amen to that one. Languages, passion, the arts, clean water, sunshine, honeybees, playtime, work, fresh air, moonlight, nature, the internet. Imagination, health, books, memories, dreams, medicine, food, family, this moment, cats, dogs, music, faith, community. They're just some, aren't they? What would you put up there? What are the things that you're grateful for? I love that, Heather. Good. What have we got? What have we got? Come on, quick. Yes. People. Oh, nice. So gratitude. The sort of things that we're grateful for. And there's lots of different ways we can think about that. Last Monday, there was a full-day seminar that a group of five or six went along, and it was engaging all generations. And they finished the day with a meal. And around the meal, they had a Jenga. You know, who's ever played Jenga? You know, it's where you have those wooden blocks, and you pull out a block, and the last person that pulls it out and falls over, you know, the other people win. So you've got to try and pull out as many blocks as you can without knocking the tower over and making it fall. This time they said, right, we want you to get 9 of these blocks and put 9 things you are grateful for that are foundational for your life. One of the things I thought of was being in Australia. Family, faith, integrity, sharing. There's a whole pile of things. And what was really interesting, at the end of that exercise, we had to do this. Make a cross as a group of people out of all those things that we were grateful for. It's actually a beautiful symbol. Collectively, as a group of people, the cross shadow through us is because of the things we're grateful for as much as anything else. So what is one thing you're grateful for? I've said 3 things, but I'm happy to accept one. What is one thing you are grateful for today, right now? Just, you don't have to tell me. You can turn to the person next to you. You can just think about it. One thing. Because gratitude drives a different way of seeing and being present in the world. Okay, that's enough for me today. Thank you for remaining awake. I can't say for you online. Hopefully you didn't remain awake. We're going to get the band to come forward. Let me share a brief prayer before they do. Lord Jesus, we thank you for life. And so many times we just take stuff for granted. A bit hard to take stuff for granted after the last 3 years. We ask that we might continue to discover gratitude to be here at the Vines, to be where we are for the things that we have. We pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to stir that with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jeff. Okay, he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives in me. Hands up who remembers this song. So we're going to sing it really loudly, aren't we? Who actually believes that he lives within my heart? Hands up. Who actually believes it? Not everybody. Some people do. He lives within my heart. We're talking about Jesus, of course. Let's stand and sing.
Good job. Go in peace to serve the Lord, knowing that he lives in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John.
Lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and walks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation through.